Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze.
Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
The WBEN All Local. All Local. A daily look at what's happening in Buffalo, Western New York, and the world.
I'm Susan Rose.
I'm Brian Masarowski.
It's going to be a hot one today.
Yeah, very warm and humid across all of Western New York today. This will especially be the case along the south shore of Lake Ontario and the Genesee Valley, where a heat advisory is in effect for Niagara and Orleans counties from noon through 8 p.m. this evening.
That's Tony Answeeney at the National Weather Service. What about the Buffalo metro area?
Yeah, there'll be some relief for the metro area and the city with a breeze off Lake Erie, but still looking at temperatures in the mid-80s.
Tomorrow and Saturday will be noticeably less humid.
Okay, we'll be watching the heat for you over the next couple of days. A suspect is in custody in connection with the shooting that left a six-year-old child injured on Hager Street in Buffalo Tuesday night. Police responded to a call of shots fired following a domestic dispute on the second floor of a home. During a scuffle with a gun, a bullet went through the floor, striking a child on the first floor in the shoulder. 19-year-old Marcus Wright has been charged with felony assault, criminal possession of a weapon, reckless endangerment, and endangering the welfare of a child. Police said there were 9 children in a first-floor apartment, 6 children in a second-floor apartment, all at the time of the incident. The 6-year-old child is expected to recover.
In Buffalo, it's been a violent start to the summer. Some city officials are confident a newly created office in City Hall will change that. Here's WBEN's Jim Fink.
What can $50,000 do for Buffalo's efforts to cut down on gun-related violence? Quite a lot, says Maston District Councilwoman Zanetta Overhart.
Not only do we need more education, we need more awareness. We need more programming in our communities.
The funds, secured by State Senator Jeremy Zellner, will help the city's Office of Gun Violence Prevention with educational and other programs, much of it aimed at youth, all about avoiding gun violence. It comes against what Everhart called a disheartening backdrop, where a 6-year-old was shot while doing nothing but playing in the child's family house. To Everhart, the incident is almost a poster child for why more outreach and more anti-violence educational programming is needed.
But we also need to make sure that we're dealing with the root causes of crime, right? The root causes of gun violence isn't just violence, right? It is actual issues happening in households and families and neighborhoods, and we have to address those things.
Zellner says he wants to see programming begin ASAP. This is Jim Fink for WBEN.com News.
Jim, thank you. There's a second measles case in Erie County. Officials with the county health department say the person was in the emergency room at Golisano Children's Hospital on Saturday and at 1021 Broadway while contagious. It's the second case locally in less than a week. In the first case, the child was infected due to international travel to a country with a measles outbreak. The second individual did not travel. In both cases, the individuals were not vaccinated. Before last week, Erie County has not had a measles case in 8 years.
It's been 25 years since the execution of Oklahoma City bomber Timothy McVeigh.
It remains one of the deadliest acts of domestic terror in the U.S., the truck bombing of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City in 1995, which killed 168 people, including 19 children. On this day, 25 years ago, bomb mastermind Timothy McVeigh, after waiving his remaining appeals, was put to death. Previously telling CBS's 60 Minutes.
I think like everyone else, I thought it was a tragic event, and that's all I really want to say.
A bombing that was said to be fueled by anti-government views. A co-conspirator, Terry Nichols, is serving a life sentence. Jeff Manasso, Fox News.
Timothy McVeigh is local here in Western New York, grew up in Pendleton, New York.
Well, the J.P. Morgan Chase Corporate Challenge is tonight in Delaware Park. Over 7,000 runners, 247 companies will take part in the 3.5-mile race. It's a big traffic impact, as there is every year. There's a free shuttle service from Buff State University to the site of the race at Delaware Park. Streets in North Buffalo around the park will close at around 6 o'clock. If you travel around Buffalo, and you have for years, you know that can be kind of a headache on the drive home, so be aware of it later today.
Yeah, you want to avoid it if you can, unless you're involved. Well, they were down 29 points last night. It was a rough first half for the New York Knicks. And then in the final minutes of Game 4, an incredible comeback. Inside Madison Square Garden, fans erupted in cheers as they witnessed it.
Somehow, some way, and the Knicks cap off the largest NBA Finals comeback this league has ever seen. And just an unbelievable effort. It's a historical night here at the Garden, guys. It's the best way to put it. And we're going to be talking about this night for a long time, especially if the Knicks can find a way to close this out Saturday night.
That's Ryan Field. I mean, it was unbelievable. And I think that people will be talking about this game for a long time.
One of the craziest finishes.
Yeah.
Just
the biggest comeback in NBA Finals history, too.
It was unbelievable. And the way it ended in the final seconds, I mean, a shot like that to
as
win
it. As it goes in.
Really just incredible stuff.
And how do the Spurs come back from that? I mean,
don't know if you do.
Yeah.
The World Cup begins today. The first U.S. game scheduled for L.A. tomorrow night. Jessica Rosenthal is more on the security challenges as officials liken the U.S. hosting duties to keeping an eye on 78 games in a 40-day period.
White House World Cup Task Force Director Andrew Giuliani says a big focus has been on counter-drone capability.
All 78 matches will have drone mitigation, so keeping drones from actually going into the stadium. There'll be a three-mile-wide temporary flight restriction for those as well.
Giuliani told the Fox News Rundown podcast the president allowed the Iranian team into the U.S. to play in the World Cup. However, there were people in Iran's football delegation connected to the IRGC who were not allowed.
And we are not going to allow a World Cup or a soccer tournament to be an excuse to allow people that are connected to the Revolutionary Guard in Iran to come into the United States of America.
He confirmed soccer fans from Iran are not allowed in either. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.
Here in downtown Buffalo, tomorrow night, four major World Cup watch parties will be happening, all within a 2.5 mile radius. WBEN's Brayton Wilson taking a look at the competition for fans between Buffalo business.
In the Electric District, Tapo Restaurant will be hosting watch parties for USA soccer matches at the FIFA World Cup outside the venue along Ellicott Street.
We've been planning on this for the last 6 months. In fact, we bought a 10 by 25 foot TV, which is the largest LED TV in Western New York. And that'll be across the street, and you'll be able to watch it from the restaurant. And we'll be using that for both soccer and football.
That's Rocco Termini from the Electric District Alliance. The Banshee Irish Pub on Franklin Street is one of the soccer hubs in Buffalo that normally hosts about 200 people on a Saturday morning for English Premier League action. Owner Connor Hawkins feels there could be four times as many people on hand for World Cup action, especially when Team USA kicks off the tournament Friday against Paraguay.
The USA game being West Coast, they're a little bit late. I mean, there's one at 9 p.m., one at 10 p.m., but we're still expecting to have all three floors opened, many, many bartenders. You know, a normal week would probably go through maybe 12 kegs of Guinness. We got about maybe 25 kegs of Guinness coming in this week. Lots more beer, lots more staff. So not only are we excited for it, the staff's excited for it too, because I mean, they're all working many, many hours. So everybody's kind of just looking forward to at least 6 weeks.
And despite there being several watch parties for Team USA's matches at different locations across Buffalo, Michelle Ciccatello from Buffalo Waterfront feels the more people willing to come to the city to watch the games, the better.
I do think our event is unique in that we have such a large space, and a lot of the other watch parties are at bars or restaurants, smaller establishments, which have a smaller capacity. I think Canalside is really kind of like the meeting spot and the hub of Buffalo, of the community in Buffalo, and just being able to bring all sorts of different people together from all different areas of Buffalo to this one spot with the common goal of rooting on Team USA is a really special feeling and very cool to witness.
Brayton Wilson, WBEN.com News.
It's going to be a lot of fun on a Friday night to start.
Can't wait for tomorrow night. You know, I've been waiting for a long time to, go out and watch Team USA again in the World Cup. You know, 4 years is a long time to wait between these major tournaments. Get our chance tomorrow. I wish the times were a little bit better. You know, nine's not bad on a Friday
night.
Three next Friday, which is okay because most people are off for the Juneteenth holiday. So it's better than I thought originally. But 3 in the afternoon, still, you'd like a little bit better. And then after that, Thursday, the 25th, at 10 p.m., which that one is just inexcusable, whoever did the scheduling.
So that obviously must be from the West Coast.
They're all on. There are 2 games in L.A., 1 game in Seattle for the group stage for the U.S. Again, whoever made that decision, I want to have a word. Here to talk. Crazy stuff. Don't know why, but safe to say I'll be off the 26th that Friday morning.
Figured.
Won't be here.
Here, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Exclusive WBEN 7 weather forecast. Another warm and muggy day. Temperatures will be in the low 80s. We'll have scattered showers and thunder showers, especially through early this afternoon. And then tonight, partly cloudy, muggy, lows near 70. On Friday, we'll have some scattered showers for the first part of the day with highs near 80. With your exclusive WBEN 7 weather forecast, I'm Chief Meteorologist Aaron Minkowski.
Joining us in the Bison Automotive Live Line this morning, Buffalo Council Member Zanetta Everhart, and a lot to get to. Zanetta, thanks for being on with us. Yesterday, you announced some new funding for the new Buffalo Office of Gun Violence Prevention, and I still think a lot of people have the question of this new office. It's been here for a little bit now, has a director, now has some increased funding. What is the goal of this office? What does it do that hasn't already been done by police or other organizations around the city?
Well, thank you so much for having me this morning. So, yes, Senator Zellner has awarded us $50,000 in the budget, and not me specifically, but it goes towards the Office of Gun Violence and Prevention. And this office, to your point and to your question, is about prevention, right? Like, we don't have real rooted organizations working in prevention. We have organizations doing amazing work on the ground as it relates to gun violence, right? But they're out there after the fact. The point is prevention. That's why it's called the Office of Gun Violence and Prevention. It is a FEMA response to gun violence. We have to be able to develop programming that prevents gun violence, right? We have to talk about the root causes of gun violence. Violence happens all over the country, but no one's focusing in on why it's actually happening. Are we making sure that there are more programs available for our young people? Are we making sure that there's jobs available? Are we making sure that people have access to go back to school and get a degree and upskill, right? Are we making sure they have stable housing? Are we making sure they have food to eat, right? Those are things that happen. That is why gun violence happens. That is why crime happens, right? People are starving for resources. And yes, and it happens all over the country, but where is the true focus on those social determinants of health? That is a real thing, and that is what this office's goal is to do, is to prevent gun violence.
Let me just ask you this. It's been a violent start, and it's not quite summer yet. I mean, this week, a child shot in the shoulder when a bullet came from an upstairs apartment, went through the floor. 2 weeks ago, a Buffalo cop was shot 6 times while responding to a call on Sherman Street. In both of these cases, they were domestics. What is going on there? How do you get a...
Absolutely. I 100% agree with you, and it is heartbreaking. I don't want to see our law enforcement getting shot by anyone, ever. Especially a 6-year-old. My heart broke that night when I got that phone call from the chief. I mean, absolutely heartbreaking and disgusting. But at the end of the day, we have to do more work on before the shootings happen. That is what we have to work on. We have to talk about domestic violence openly and loudly. We have to make sure there are resources available in neighborhoods for people who are dealing with domestic violence, who are dealing with mental health issues, who don't have a job and feel like their only resource is to sell drugs or do some sort of illegal activity. We have to actually be out there in neighborhoods providing them with these resources. That is why these things happen. And I'm going to continue to scream and holler about it. I'm going to continue to advocate for more funding for this office, because these are the neighborhoods that I'm from, right? Like, there's no mistake about that. I am from the worst parts of neighborhoods. That is where I come from. And if I can come to where I am today, everyone can do it. But there were people put in my life, there were people placed in my life that allowed me to get here. And so I want to be that person for everyone else. I want to make sure that I'm reaching back into my neighborhood and helping people and showing them that there are other ways to do things in life.
Buffalo's Juneteenth Festival celebrating 50 years, and it's this upcoming weekend. Now, last year, unfortunately, the big headline out of it were fights among teens that kind of marred the rest of the festival. Not talking about shooting incidents, but fights and a little bit of chaos there. What has been done in the year since to make sure that doesn't happen again, whether it's at the Juneteenth Festival or really a lot of other ones? I mean, we were talking about Woodlawn Beach. I mean, it happened in Kenmore outside of the city of Buffalo.
Yeah.
What work has been done the last year?
Absolutely. So as you know, last year, you all were at my announcement that I made last year about making sure that we are actually providing space within the Juneteenth Festival for our young people, right? Giving them something to actually do. Because when young people historically come to the Juneteenth Festival, they really just hang out, right? Because there is no actual activity for them to participate in. And so last year, I made the announcement about some sort of... what are we doing with these kids? What are we going to provide for them, right? Are we going to create a space where they have something to do, where they can learn about the Juneteenth, where they have their own, you know, personal activities that they can participate in? And so I made that announcement last year. And so this year, the Juneteenth Festival themselves actually took it upon themselves to create a space for young people. And so there will be gaming trucks out there. There's going to be all types of things happening for our young people to participate in this year. So now they have something to do, right? And that goes back to my other point about gun violence, even in the community. We have to actually provide something for them to do, right? If they're just hanging out doing nothing, of course they're going to get into a little trouble. That's what teenagers do. We've all been teenagers one time or another, but we have to just make sure that we're providing those resources, making sure that families know that there are resources for them at the Juneteenth Festival and throughout the summer months. There are lots of things to do. Yes, we had some crazy parties last year. They were in my district specifically. I went out there, right, with the police chiefs. I went and I met with those young people and I talked to them about their responsibility to this community. But what it's going to take is more credible messengers like myself getting out there and talking to these young people, letting them know that there are things out there for them to do. We can assist them wherever we can. And that's really what it's about. It's about building community, letting young people feel heard and feel seen, but also giving them the resources that they need to be successful. Oh,
Zanetta, will there be restrictions again this year for entry and for unaccompanied teens?
Yes. Yes. The teenage, that is a real thing, right? So young people have something to do. We have a whole section of the Juneteenth Festival that will be dedicated just to them. And so, yes, that is true. There will be lots of volunteers around throughout the festival, helping to, you know, guide our young people to have things to do. So yes, that is a thing still this year. There's a lot for them to do. We're excited to have them. They're going to have a good time. The Juneteenth Festival put a lot of work into making sure there were resources for our young people. And so we really want our families to come out and enjoy those things that they put together for them.
Well, Zanetta, thank you for the time. Always appreciate it. Zanetta Everhart,
welcome.
Buffalo Council member, joining us live here on WBEN.
That's the WBEN All Local. All new episodes are made available each weekday morning, produced by the award-winning WBEN Newsroom.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.